It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Awesome to have you listening in. Welcome to the fifth podcast in our 2019 e-commerce Master Plan Growth Series, sponsored by Omnisend, the all-in-one marketing automation platform that empowers e-commerce marketers to boost sales with omnichannel tools. It's the third time we've done the Growth Series in January, bringing you double the number of episodes per week for the whole month, each one selected because it offers superb advice on how to grow your business in the coming year. We've got a very varied selection for you this year, and I know you're going to find it really useful, so make sure you listen to them all. There's 10 episodes in the series in total, numbers 191 to 200, and at least half of them are live as you listen to this one, so no excuses for listening to those. I'm Chloe Thomas, I'm creator of the E-commerce Master Plan, I'm an author, speaker and advisor. And I focus on solving your e-commerce marketing problems. If you have an e-commerce problem you would like my help solving, then head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/solve to find out more. Before I introduce you to our guest, we should really hear a bit more about our sponsor, as without them, this series and specifically this episode would not be possible. Omnisend, marketing automation platform tailored for e-commerce. Omnisend provides sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on both Facebook and Google, all from just one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Just visit omnisend.com/masterplan and get started. Today, we're going SaaS. Yes, we're getting into the world of software as a service, that different stream of e-commerce I occasionally like to add to our podcast topics because it's always good for us to take a look outside our own business model to find some new ideas and inspiration and learn from how other people are running similar yet different types of e-commerce business. So let me introduce you to today's special guest. Rytis Loris is the CEO and co-founder of Omnisend. It's an e-commerce marketing automation service trusted by over 40,000 marketers. Last year, they undertook a major roll of the dice to enable future growth by rebranding the company. Hello, Rytis.
Nice to be here.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Great day.
Great to have you on here today. I'm really looking forward to talking about that rebranding story. But before we get into all of that, how did you get started in e-commerce yourself?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, there's always a journey. So actually, I was running a digital marketing agency, serving customers, serving clients, doing website development, as well as Facebook ads, Facebook apps used to be very popular some time ago, as well as doing email marketing and digital marketing in general, and some of our customers were e-commerce. So that was actually the beginning to where I met e-commerce business, where we start serving e-commerce businesses, and that's how we saw that there are specific needs of those e-commerce businesses, and they are different comparing to any other who is doing like some business and has online presence, like website or just a simple Facebook page, let's say as a cafe or lawyers or etc. And I really felt in love with e-commerce, as you can track almost everything there, and and you can measure impact as a digital marketer. So that was actually the beginning of my relationship with e-commerce in general.
Just that discovery that it's so similar yet so different. I have to say that's one of the reasons I am forever involved loving e-commerce, because there's just such a clear and distinct set of things you have to do for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Although attribution is still a huge challenge for any marketer, I guess, including those who are e-commerce marketers.
Yeah, attribution, that's a biggie, isn't it? At least we can track it, which you can't in a lot of places, but the who deserves the credit for the sale when it comes down to the traffic. I think ever since my very first probably my first ever day in e-commerce, there was a question mark about whether it was the catalog or the Google ads which drove the sale. And that's been the story for the last 15 years. And we're better able to track it, but working out who wins and who deserves the credit is a whole other nightmare.
Absolutely agree. And nowadays we have more channels, which makes it a little bit more complicated. I mean, it opens new horizons and for acquisition, but yeah. But still, attribution remains a challenge.
It does indeed. And actually, I find it's trickier in the lead gen world, I guess you're in my world rather than the normal e-commerce business, than it is, you know, to do that attribution than it is in the sales, you know, selling a product side of things, simply because the path to purchase tends to be so much greater.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Yeah, especially for us, it's a challenge as well, especially when some of our acquisition funnel goes through some app stores like Shopify App Store, BigCommerce App Store, Magento App Store, etc., WooCommerce. So sometimes we do lose our lead there. And then, you know, mapping them properly, when you get them back onto your website, onto your SaaS tool, it's really a challenge. But we are trying to solve it.
Yeah, it interests me that the attribution I find is discussed considerably more in the e-commerce world than it is in the lead generation world, which is kind of, it seems a more front of mind problem in e-commerce than it does in lead gen, despite the fact in lead gen, it's probably a bigger problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm at risk of taking us down one serious rabbit hole there. So let's crawl back out of the rabbit hole. And how did you get from the digital marketing agency that you were running and your initial involvement with e-commerce through to founding Omnisend?
So back in the days, Omnisend is about to celebrate 5th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. In a few months, it's going to be February next year. This year.
Yeah, everyone, we're recording this like 3 days before Black Friday. And you're obviously not going to be hearing this until January. So next month, it turns 5, which is very cool.
Next month, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's gonna be 5. Yeah, so first couple of years, then we launched. So the story was as follows: as we saw serving those e-commerce clients that they have very specific needs for their email marketing, and automation 5 years ago was not so obvious for e-commerce, and it was a privilege for large players as like Amazon or other corporate level players, which used to use very expensive, very, very complicated, very comprehensive solutions. So yeah, the idea behind launching Soundest at that time, which now is Omnisend, was that really bring this data-driven and automated marketing solution to small and medium businesses. And that time, the market was relatively empty and no one was like focusing on e-commerce. Nowadays, it's a bit more crowded market with many players focusing on e-commerce. I mean, email service providers focusing on e-commerce specific needs and serving those specific needs. Focus on e-commerce was from the very, very, very beginning of Omnisend. We started like serving those really micro to small businesses at that time and bringing them capacity, which were not for them before. For the first couple, 2 years, yeah, 2 years from the launch, we still continue serving as digital marketing agency alongside with the product. But after that, it took off. We saw that, okay, we can focus on the product solely, and this is the way to go. So this, you know, global presence and customers worldwide and different kind of businesses and SaaS model is really what I felt in love as like a few years before I felt in love in e-commerce.
It's so hard to run two different business models at a time, you know, the agency model and a SaaS model. So it must have been really nice the day you just got to go, just the SaaS model.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it was at that time, like initial couple of years, they were not like super, super easy. Now we are growing at great rate. But initially, there were the challenges to really understand your customers' needs. So I guess the lesson which we have learned is really understanding your customers' needs is the core of any business. Doesn't matter if you are running online store or you are serving those online stores, as it's in our case. Yeah, so really it took us a couple of years to really understand who our customer is, what are their needs, etc. And we're still learning. I mean, it's a journey. It will never end.
It is one of those crazy things, isn't it? You can sit at the blackboard or the whiteboard for as long as you want, extrapolating who you believe your startup avatar is going to be. But then 6 months down the line, when you look at who your best customers actually are, they're always a little bit different.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. Yeah. So it's, you know, in the SaaS world, really being lean is very important. So we take this path, and while launching our new features, we do it as MVP initially, usually with a beta sign and launch for our early adopters.
Just to quickly clarify that for the listeners, MVP is minimum viable product. So it's a basic version.
That's correct.
Stripped back version for testing.
That's correct. Yeah, sorry, using a little bit of slang from SaaS model. But so really launching a feature and testing if our customers really need it. If they need it, if the way we saw it as a solution for their some of their problems or some of their challenges, if this is the best solution, maybe we got the right idea and the right pain point, but the solution is not the best we have implemented. So really, like, a lot of adjustment, a lot of you know, tweaking after this minimum viable product is live.
I suppose that's a bit like the act of, hey guys, hey early adopters, we've got something new for you, here it is. If no one's looked at that functionality in the first week, it's probably missed the problem, I suppose, which is a bit like in the e-commerce space doing a pre-order. You can pre-order this product to see if anyone actually wants it, and that can help you make the decision of what you build next in your case, or what you buy in to sell in the case of the e-commerce business.
Absolutely. You know, it's something similar like launching a Kickstarter campaign where you sell a great vision of future, and then you present it to a market, and the market decides either they want to believe in this future, and there is a pain point, and they're willing to pay you in advance. So in our case, like those early adopters who started using our features, yeah, usually we do give them something like in exchange, like free credits or not increasing the price, and they have this like early adopter advantage. There's always an early adopter advantage somehow. But yeah, but at the same time, they take a little bit of risk to really understand how does it work, and to help us in some cases to understand their needs better.
Excellent. Well, look, I mentioned in the intro that you'd done a pretty big roll of the dice in 2018, which was to rebrand your business completely from Soundest to Omnisend, which is a big call to make. So what led you to the decision?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we made it. And so the fundamentals for this is really that once we launched Soundest at that time, we really were focusing to small, or let's say micro to small, a little bit to mid-sized businesses, with a promise to have a super easy to use email marketing service. And we kept this promise as really once we're analyzing our reviews we're getting on like app stores, on G2 Crowd, Capterra, etc. And the key keywords were easy and use. Those were two like completely dominating keywords. So we kind of made what we promised to do, but at the same time we saw two patterns. One is that our customers, who are growing, they are graduating us. They are going to another solutions which are a bit more sophisticated, which are a bit more, at the same time, a little bit more complicated, but they kind of provide a better variety of features and better capabilities to really do a sophisticated automation, etc. It's one thing. And the second thing, which is a really fundamental shift, which is happening, and we strongly believe that it will change the retail in general, it's going omnichannel. Both, like ways you sell things. I mean, there will be no purely online or purely offline retail businesses in 5 to 10 years. I would say at the same time, marketers should look at marketing cross-channel as well. I mean, use this omni-channel thing, but you should reach your customers with the channels they want to be reached. So adding to email marketing, adding like text messages, adding push notifications, adding Facebook Messenger and other messengers in the future. So that was actually the vision, that we should enable those omnichannel businesses, omnichannel retail businesses, to do omnichannel marketing. You know, we saw those two things, that we should a little bit refocus what our ideal customer is, what persona is, at the same time, really to go after this fundamental shift, which is happening now, and we believe will be happening in the coming 5 to 10 years.
So I know many of our listeners have probably had those days where they've gone, oh my God, we've only been selling earrings and the customers want necklaces, so we'll start selling necklaces again, which is a bit like the same thing you've been from, but they've shied away from doing the whole rebrand. So what was it after going, right, we need to update the vision for the next 5-10 years, we need to listen to our customers, what then made you feel the need to rebrand as a result of that process?
Yeah, that's really like good question. So one thing is really long-term vision, and another thing, because, you know, at that time we were not sure that the new name going to be Omniset, but just we felt that sound as doesn't really reflect what are we doing now already, and what are we planning to do in upcoming 5 to 10 years, which if we're talking about like 10 years perspective, it's quite long term. So having a better name, which better reflects what are you doing, we thought that it's going to be really valuable move, which now after 1 year, I really can confirm that was a good decision. Although going through this rebranding processes, there were days or nights when they thought, okay, why are we doing this?
So let's dive into that a little bit then. I suppose rather than saying tell me the horror stories, for anyone out there who's thinking it's time to rebrand, because often we do give our businesses one name at the beginning and then it turns out not to be the best name and we want to revise it. Have you got any advice for someone who's thinking about going through that process that might help them make the implementation that little bit less stressful?
No, in this case, no. We've got a lot of advice from our existing customers, mainly for choosing a name, just testing our names and then the picks we made from the shortlist. But not the process. So sometimes it's better not to know things before starting. Because once you dive in, you have no other option.
You just got to go for it. I like that. You want just make the right decision and then just wade through it all. So just to go back there, you said something really interesting, which is to choose the new name, you used customers as part of the decision-making process.
Yes, that's correct. So the lesson, just maybe another lesson, just before going to this, like choosing a name. I would say that we were really happy that we didn't do it like too early. It's really like demanding for resources, mainly human resources as well as financial resources. It's one lesson. And a second lesson, I would say that if you kind of feel that your current name is really limiting your business, so really seriously consider rebranding. As in our case, it really worked well, and now I'm super happy about that. Getting back to choosing a name. So there were a few rules that one is really wanted to reflect what our vision is. So having words as like send or mail or automation or marketing, somehow we made a short list of a few words which would preferably be included into our name. It was like one thing. And yeah, second thing, it was about being able to acquire a .com domain. Because some of them, they cost like, you know, tons of money. And third thing was really, which is super serious, as our business is really global, finding the name which is not registered as a trademark yet. And we found this a super challenging thing.
Those of you who've played the game of let's try and come up with a name for the business and then try and find the domain name will know how difficult that is. If you've ever tried to do it whilst bearing in mind international trademarks as well, it is a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. And it's even much more difficult than to find a domain. It's like for the main, it's usually if it's free and it's if it's for sale, so it's the matter of money. I mean, either you can afford or you cannot, but you still can negotiate. There are formats where you can lease a domain. There are such a services that, okay, the price is quite high, but they divide it into like 24 months or so, and you pay it on monthly basis. So there are options. But with a trademark, it's much more limiting because, you know, there is someone, sometimes you even don't know, because this is the company which is a client of some, lawyer. Who owns the trademark, and then it's registered cross country, cross continents, etc. So, it's much more challenging even than to find a proper domain name. So, So the lesson here, and then for our e-commerce and store owners, so it really you should define your market. I mean, if you are playing like locally in, let's say, US market or the UK market or so maybe that's enough for you to register your trademark like locally. But if you really, if you are really willing to trade worldwide, so really worth considering registering in different locations.
Yes, and then that whole process, which I think we're probably best off not getting into, but that's another very long-winded process as well. Getting your way through that, I think. I'm not even going to go there. Chloe, bench that. Move on.
Yeah, sometimes you shouldn't go through that process if you're selling some unique, like if you're a designer and you're designing, like, let's say, clothing by yourself. And so maybe that's absolutely okay with having not registered trademark if you own like domain. And afterwards, if something happens, you can prove that, it's you who really started this business under this name. And that's perfectly fine, I guess.
You know, even the choosing of the name is complex and time consuming and all the rest of it, but then implementing that change is moving all the websites. And that you will, if anyone's thinking of doing a rebranding exercise, as Rita says, don't just do it on a whim. You know, make sure that your name really is limiting you, as Rita said. And then I always think it's worth, just before you push the button on even the idea generation, just make a list of everywhere that brand name exists.
Absolutely agree.
Just to bear in mind the huge quantity of work you've got to fix that on everything that's connected to the business. Because it's not, you know, in the old days, if you wanted to change the name of your physical retail store, you could just put up a new sign, pretty much. It's somewhat more complex than that these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, a part of our experience with a name change, we kind of saw some of our customers going through this rebranding process or moving a platform. E-commerce platform, so it's quite similar, I would say. That moving, migrating from one platform to another is really challenging as well. And the SEO, especially for e-commerce, it's crucial here to really properly make all the redirects and not to lose something. For technical SEO part is like super super important, and especially if you have a lot of SKUs, a lot of products, which was not like super difficult in our case, as we had like relatively limited an amount of pages and our website. So any online store have like, you know, a lot, much more than us did. But still, like SEO part is like super important, and both technical and offsite SEO, really, as you have mentioned, finding where you have been mentioned previously and really contacting those resources asking to change your name. Which is not that easy sometimes.
No, and it's often as well, it's a project that then grows. So it's like, oh, the product packaging needs to have the branding change. Well, let's just redesign the product packaging whilst we're doing that. And then it's like, oh, and we've got to rebrand the website, and the logo's actually gone from red to blue. So we better do the whole, let's just shift platform at the same time. And all of a sudden, you've kind of thrown the entire business up in the air and watched it fall down. So I think there has to be you have to be a bit careful about what you agree to include in the rebranding process. Did you find that was a bit of a challenge?
Yeah, that was. That was definitely. And as you said, it was a growing, constantly growing project. Every day it became bigger and bigger. But just after rebranding, it started becoming smaller. As the day when we changed the name, it was not the end of the process. It was just some intermediate pit stop, I would call it. And afterwards the project continued, like really replacing all the backlinks, trying to replace them, and even like some legacy, technical legacy things. You should do it as well after. So it took us at least like half a year, even a little bit more, to really finalize this rebranding process. After the name was changed and the domain was changed and the logo was changed. Yeah. So it's a process.
And then the whole work starts again, telling the customers, this is the new name. This is why we've changed it. Because, of course, the why is what they really care about, because that's, the whole catalyst for this whole process was them and why you decided to make the shift, and then explain to them why you made the shift, why it's great for them and all the rest of it, as well as just making sure they've realized so they actually open your communications, is a whole other project in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And explaining for your current customers, as well as going after new customers. And after rebranding, you have a new message a little bit. Okay, sometimes maybe you can keep the same message. In our case, we really change messaging, and our USP going from really like easiness of use, which is still really is the case. We are building our product to be like super easy to use for anyone, but just wanting really enabling those smart marketers to do great things for their online stores and their online businesses. But the positioning is really from like easiness of use and from like micro businesses to from the merchants, who are usually like sole man business, going to mid-size and larger companies with marketing teams and marketers, etc. So really repositioning it, you always have still this legacy positioning. When you talk to a new prospective customer, let's say, and you explain your new positioning, but sometimes online we can still find your old positioning somewhere, in some legacy article, in some podcast, etc. And yeah, so this is where you have a challenge to explain that. Why is it so? What has changed here?
Yeah, and at least in your case, the previous positioning very much supports the new positioning. But there are times when a rebrand can be from pointing east to pointing west instead. And that's a whole other thing. But let's not go into that. Instead, let's head into the top tips round. And here is a reminder of our sponsor. Omnisend, the marketing automation platform tailored for e-commerce. Omnisend provides sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on both Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Just visit omnisend.com/masterplan and get started. Okay, as you all know, I love the top tips round because it gives all of us some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Rhitus, first up, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
It's Hard Things. It's Hard Thing About Hard Things. It's really not about e-commerce, but about the mindset in general. Although it's by Ben Horowitz. It's really about the situations that some of us would give up, but just never give up and really be creative and find the ways, as there's always a way to do that. And the best I like about this book is really that a lot of management books or like self-improvement books, etc., they always talking success stories, but very few of them are talking about failures. And the failures, they do exist in our lives, in our businesses, and it's really, really part of a journey which should be taking. I mean, you cannot shortcut in this case. You have to make a certain amount of failures to get into success. Yeah, so that's a book about failures, and therefore I really like it. I mean, feeling just a human and,
Given how often we all say you learn more from your, or many of us say, you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes, it is surprising how few books there are out there that actually talk about the failures.
Absolutely, because, you know, the history is written by winners. So once you become a winner, I guess you just forget about your failures.
Let's move on to the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Marketing method. So I would say text messages as a channel. It's really start getting traction again. SMS as a channel. It used to be quite popular, and then email really made them not that popular anymore. And smartphone is a default as a phone, and really text messages became as any other messaging solution, with the links, with clickable links, with unsubscribe options, etc. So I really feel and see the renaissance of SMSs.
Okay, I'll have to keep an eye out for that one this year then. The tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Buffer, I would say.
The social media sharing service.
Yeah, social media sharing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
Just, you know, do things. be passionate about what you're doing, and never give up. Try different things. And so that's would be kind of a broader tip. And if we're talking about marketing, where field we are, so really start doing omnichannel marketing earlier than later.
Excellent advice. Well, Masterplan World, you can find all those top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you will see a link to this show. Rita, before we say goodbye, could you remind the listeners of where they can find you and Omnisend on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, sure. So the best thing to find is really our website. Go to www.omnisend.com. Omnisend is the name for Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, Instagram, etc. So you name your preferred social media, and as well as app stores. If you are using like particular e-commerce platforms, Shopify, BigCommerce, Magento, WooCommerce, or PrestoShop, so we can find on there, however they call it, app stores, plugin stores, add-on stores. So we are there. So it's really, really seamless that you can just install the plugin or the app, and your store will be connected with Omnisend just in a minute.
Excellent. Well, I'll add links to all of that and everything else we talked about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Ritas, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast today. It's been really interesting hearing about your rebranding journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Claude. It's been a pleasure to attend your podcast. Thank you.
So I hope you all enjoyed that skip and a hop into the world of SaaS, into also understanding a bit more about the pros and cons of a rebranding experience. And I really love the way that Rita said, if your current brand is limiting your business, then it's time to change it. I think that's quite a nice litmus test for working out, should I rebrand or not? Is it limiting your business, or is it just something you quite fancy changing? Because as I think we discussed, the complexity and the levels of the rebranding process are complex. Picking the name and dealing with domain issues and trademarking issues to try and find the right one, that can really sap your creativity when everything you come up with, you can't get the .com. Likewise, you then have, oh my gosh, where are all the places where our brand is? So many places, which then, of course, leads you to actually look in those places and realize, gosh, that needs an update. And then you skip on to actually making the change and conveying the message to everyone. It's not a project to take on lightly, but it can make great and positive impacts to your business. This has been the fifth episode from our 2019 E-commerce Masterplan Growth Series, sponsored by Omnisend, the all-in-one marketing automation platform that empowers e-commerce marketers to boost sales with omnichannel tools. There's 10 episodes in total, so make sure you check them all out by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. Now, the whole point of this series is to help you grow your business in 2019. And that's also the point of the virtual summit we ran back in September. If you missed that, there's still time to get involved. It's over 20 expert video sessions, and in each, you'll learn about a different way to improve your marketing and grow your business. Think of it like a conference that you can tap into whenever you want, from wherever you want. There's a very special offer on the virtual summit just for you podcast listeners. Get it by going to ecommercemasterplan.com/summit176. That's ecommercemasterplan.com/summit176. Have a great week and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the e-commerce master plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.